Thank you, David, and thank you, Paul, for the review. And good evening, everybody. We're short on time. I'm in charge of time and frequency for the UK. So if I get this wrong, we're in trouble. I feel hugely responsible given the fee. When Paul was pointing his finger, he was pointing it directly at me with regards to what's going on in PSRE land in particular. So thank you again, and thank you for the way that you engage with the community in a very open and transparent way. And the PSRE community in particular feel that their voice has been heard. Now, I've got some pictures as well as some words. The first set of pictures is actually a picture of what Chi is. You can feel me slumping in my chair as the list. But I can add to this. We live in incredibly busy times within sort of science and technology policy with the integrated review, with integrated review looking at how science and technology can deliver strategic advantage for the UK. Three independent reviews, including Sir Paul's, that itself was called for out of the innovation strategy, the people and culture R&D strategy, the National Science and Technology Cabinet Committee that was in and was out and now it's in again, the changes in the machinery of government, which in addition to my host department, Department for Science, Innovation and Technology, we've got new departments such as the Department for Business and Trade with a significant R&D component, as well as the existing departments with major science budgets. And the Science and Technology Framework up there that actually references over 50 individual strategies that exist across government and connects those, or at least references those, with its 10 recommendations, 10 aspects that it looks at, which actually came out publicly, I think, on the same day that the Nurse Review was published. And then shortly afterwards, the International Technology Strategy was then published. And along with all of this, there's the little matter of our relationship with Europe, but I think that may have been mentioned already this evening. So there's much to tackle. And complexity drives cost, and efficiency can actually deliver greater outcomes for the same investment. There probably isn't a magic money tree that's going to solve all of this, so we have really got to think sensibly and effectively about how we address all of these challenges. But for me, there is definitely a burning platform, there is burning opportunity, and it feels like we should be acting now with all of this data in front of us. Just with reference to the people that I've spoken to, the organisations that I've spoken to pass comments on Sir Paul's review, David mentioned my current and my past. Just to mention for the public sector research establishment, if the public comment that you'll get from a bunch of PSREs will probably be that they welcome the review because they don't speak publicly on policy issues. They'll be negotiating hard within their owning departments over particular issues, but in that respect their voice isn't heard as much as other communities, and so they're really pleased for this voice. And AERTO, who are represented here tonight, which has a mix of public and private organisations, they are able to consult more freely and more openly with government. And as a fellow of the Royal Academy of Engineering and a trustee and of the Institute of Physics, and as a non-exec director of one of the catapults, I'm able to, I hope, represent a number of views this evening. The examples I'll give will be MPL examples, so as sort of to just to bring some of these points to life. So, first point, freedoms. Two points on this. Freedoms around pay, and I think of flexibility around pay here. So within this landscape, this is not a level playing field. There are fantastic government-owned organisations within the UK. But it is becoming increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to attract the best possible talent to these shores to work within the public sector in the current environment. So providing flexibility to enable leaders to actually balance where we make it, where we invest, where we spend our money alongside infrastructure and all of the other things that one spends in an organisation, just giving us that flexibility would make a huge difference and can happen very, very quickly. Scope of our organisations. So Paul makes comments around clarifying the missions. I would add to that that boundaries and swim lanes, when I hear those words described for organisations, I tend to view those as negative terms. They can be used to keep you in a box. I prefer the sort of greyer boundaries, trusting organisations to lead in areas where curiosity-driven research, where discovery-driven research will enable those organisations to actually make the discoveries and support the discoveries of the future. If I move on to trust, actually, which also links back to my points on freedoms. I've lost count of the number of times that other arm's length body organisations will ask, how long are the arms of your owning department? And they vary, I can confirm. But what I would say is there's a lot of time and investment that goes into recruiting leaders. They are public appointments for public sector research establishments in particular. So let those leaders lead and hold us to account for the outcomes that we're here to deliver. So Paul, you talk about new institutes, new units. I'm particularly attracted to the opportunities to take on new initiatives. One very brief example I've got is actually the UK Telecoms Lab, which the old DCMS, now it's part of, now that part of DCMS is within DCIT, asked my lab, NPL, to take the lead on what is now known as the UK Telecoms Lab, opened in October. We went through a whole series of due diligence, but if we'd have just looked at the hard facts, then we could have easily argued that maybe it sat outside of the boundary of MPL. That would have been an inefficient decision, and we look forward to delivering outcomes for government on that basis. Reducing barriers, and one that affects lots of colleagues here is the full economic cost issue. And so Paul, you drew out this in the Paul Nurse Review number one. I don't think you called it number one at the time because you didn't know there was going to be a number two. This has been an issue for so long. Simply, we need a problem owner, we need a senior responsible owner for this issue so that where the best capabilities are sought to address a particular mission, a particular national challenge, it's criminal if those organisations that both industry and academia want in the room and on the programme can't take part because of the way that the work is funded. It makes no sense, and it doesn't. It seems it's not easy to resolve, but it needs a problem owner and it needs a cross-government working party of users and policy owners to really figure out what can be done. Funding. I like the phrase that I say to ministers often when they see things that we do within the landscape, that yes, that was a 10-year overnight success, and that's because of the investment that takes place for the long term that's been mentioned earlier that allows us to turn those capabilities, and that's not just for PSREs, that's across the landscape. And stability not just for ourselves, but for the investment community that's going to attract that investment into the UK, a blueprint that will support and encourage and give confidence to that community. The approach that I would encourage is a whole systems view. I like a map as much as the next person, and a systems map, one that's just one of many, but if these maps are unintelligible to ourselves, then they're going to be unintelligible to the wider community, and if we can't produce a map of the landscape, that's probably telling us something in itself. Any systems engineer will tell you that for a system or a system of systems, then if you focus in on those interfaces, on the permeability in some respects, then you can make a major difference to that system. Addressing the full economic cost will enable the system to work more effectively. Having a level playing field for people will affect that, because people will move much more easily between the important nodes of this RDI landscape. And in that, you will just get greater knowledge dissemination between the individual components. And I welcome the expert exchange that DCIT has just announced, which will bring people into government. That scratches the surface of what is a major issue for us, but one that we can make a great deal of impact on and deliver strategic impact for the UK. On a national level, we come together very well most of the time in emergencies. When it's business as usual, perhaps we don't. I'd cite one great example that we experienced, which is the Strategic Priorities Fund, a fund set up for those of us who were able to bid into that, those proposals were reviewed by the CSA community across government, and it was for cross-government challenges, excuse me. And that broke down barriers and enables us now, certainly within MPO, we're delivering a national time and centre capability that supports so many different sectors and government departments. Internationally, we often quote the numbers of how strong our universities are, and they are superb. Do we quote about the whole system? Do we advertise why somebody might want to bring their R&D into the UK? I mean, I think about within MPO, we develop technical standards, we work with the best universities, we work with the best companies to develop those technical standards so that those companies can compete and trade more effectively in the future. Do we, excuse me, do we tell the world that as well as we should do? And on industry and investors, I think James Dyson was talking about industry over the weekend. We'd like to see more around industry and investors. Now, if I could just now actually present a map, and Chi, you talked about knowledge dissemination, and so here you will often see these types of diagrams where organisations will tell you where they're based. This is the MPL-shaped diagram. And there's an absolutely valid argument about innovation clusters and science clusters developing around where those organisations are based. I would argue that that's only part of the impact about how we deliver impact across the UK. This is just an example of the second diagram there, is just an example of the 200 postgraduate researchers that we co-supervise between MPL and universities, and the knowledge that's moving in between those organisations and those universities. But then if I focus in on this third one here, this is just one programme that we have called Measurement for, what's called Measurement for Recovery, it's now called Measurement for Business, and this is a simple system in which we've worked with hundreds and hundreds of small companies to work with them, to help them develop their technologies and accelerate those towards the marketplace. Across the UK, because we're working remotely, working more digitally. And then finally, another program where this is just companies that we've worked with over the last 5 to 6 years and where they are delivering, where their gross value add is within the UK, close to £500 million this year. So in conclusion, for the outcomes that I'm certainly looking for, it's unleashing the PSREs, which I think will deliver excellent impact. Taking that whole systems view with an eye on affordability, understanding what we're trying to achieve and being able to measure that impact. Thinking about the whole capability that includes infrastructure and people and partnerships. And finally, and as Sir Paul identifies, all of this will be achieved with inspirational leadership and change management across the whole system. Thank you.